this is your Polycast for Wednesday, May 27th, your daily check-in on Minnesota politics. I'm Mike Mulcahy in the Minnesota Public Radio newsroom. On today's edition, the governor and speaker of the House agree on the site and duration of a special session, but not much else. DFL Governor Mark Dayton and Republican House Speaker Kurt Dowd are scheduled to meet again this afternoon after an initial meeting yesterday to plan for a special session of the legislature. Dayton needs to call lawmakers back to St. Paul to revisit the three budget bills he vetoed last week. Despite a $1.9 billion budget surplus, lawmakers will have to agree to new versions of those bills by June 30th to avoid a partial government shutdown. Tim Pugmire has more.
Dayton and Dowd emerged from an afternoon meeting at the governor's residence and described the discussion as cordial, but no agreements were reached. Dowd said they're working for a one-day special session as soon as possible.
The governor laid out some of his priorities for me today. We're going to go back and talk with some of our members, our chairs and staff, research some of those positions, and then likely the governor and I will get back together tomorrow to discuss that further.
Dayton made a special session necessary last Thursday when he followed through on a promised veto of the K-12 education bill, which fell short of his desired funding level and left out his universal preschool proposal. 2 days later, Dayton added to the agenda with two more vetoes. He cited numerous objections to funding and policy provisions in the finance bills for agriculture, natural resources, and economic development. The governor also blamed Senate Democrats for what he called egregious anti-environmental language.
Vetoes are always pretty personal.
DFL Senator David Tomasoni of Chisholm was the chief Senate negotiator for the two bills Dayton vetoed on Saturday. He said he was hoping the governor would sign both and then ask lawmakers to fix his concerns during the special session. Tomasoni said reaching agreement with House Republicans on both bills was difficult and won't get any easier. He said he's concerned now about state workers getting layoff notices and state park reservations coming to a halt.
If we do get to the June 30th area and not have an agreement, there's a partial government shutdown. And I'm just very concerned about how this all turns out.
The chief House negotiator on the jobs and energy bill also has concerns. Republican Representative Pat Garofalo of Farmington said with three budget bills now on the agenda for a special session, the negotiation should not be limited to the governor and top legislative leaders.
The governor has vetoed a majority of the budget. I think it is increasingly unlikely that just five leaders will be able to do that. I don't think it's right. There's 201 elected officials, and we all have a vote.
Lawmakers are also expected to take up the bonding bill and legacy bill that they failed to pass in time before adjournment. A tax bill could also be part of the mix. Governor Dayton is proposing a $260 million one-year income tax cut in exchange for an additional $250 million in education spending, including partial funding for preschool. That's a bigger increase than Dayton was willing to settle for at the end of the regular session. During his weekend news conference, Dayton said he's taken back the previous lower offer, which was made in hopes of avoiding a special session.
We were $25 million apart, and they walked away from it. Well, if you're working under a deadline and you make an offer and the other side rejects it, then that offer's off the table.
House Republicans remain non-committal to the new proposal. Senate Democrats wouldn't support a tax cut bill in the regular session because House Republicans wouldn't support their approach to transportation funding. But DFL Senate Majority Leader Tom Bach, who also had a private meeting with Dayton, said he could go along with the governor's latest offer.
You know, I'm going to support the governor in these negotiations as he moves forward with the House. I don't know what the House's appetite is. Where that is, but if the governor can carve off a deal like that with the House, it's nothing I'm going to throw cold water on them.
State officials have answered one big question about the special session, its location. With the Capitol building closing for renovations, they've decided that House and Senate sessions will be squeezed into hearing rooms in the nearby state office building. Tim Pugmire, Minnesota Public Radio News.
With the special session coming up, some supporters of a bill that would give unauthorized immigrants the ability to get a driver's license are hoping the provision will come up again. The bill to allow some immigrants to drive legally, even if they have few other legal rights in the U.S., had bipartisan support and the backing of interest groups that are often at odds. Peter Cox has more.
The bill would add a new category called a driving privilege license and would allow people to use passports or certain foreign identity documents to apply. The DFL-led Minnesota Senate approved the bill, but it failed to get on the floor of the Minnesota House, where Republicans are in the majority. In the last days of the session, supporters made an attempt to attach the immigrant driver's license bill to the Omnibus Agriculture, Environment, and Natural Resources Finance Bill. In this tape from May 16th, bill sponsor Representative Rod Hamilton, a Republican from Mountain Lake, argued for a floor vote against the wishes of the chair, fellow Republican House member Denny McNamara, a supporter of the bill who didn't think they had the votes.
I think we would have the votes on the House floor. This is where I disagree with Chair McNamara. I'm happy to take the vote because I will be supporting it. What I'm asking is, are we better off not having a negative vote here towards what we're trying to get accomplished?
Dan McGrath of Minnesota Majority says opposition from his advocacy group boils down to two issues. He thinks the licenses could be used for people to illegally register to vote, and he worries about the message it would send.
We're encouraging illegal activity in Minnesota and rewarding it by handing out driver's licenses to people that actually don't have a legal right to be here in the first place. And this seems like it creates another magnet to draw more illegal activity to Minnesota.
The Senate bill contained language that specified the licenses for driving only and cannot be used for voting. Supporters said making sure everyone who drives has a license boils down to a safety issue. Jim Felt, the chief of the Willmar Police Department, says the West Central Minnesota city has significant Latino and Somali populations working in agriculture and other local industries.
We really took the stand that if they're going to be on the road, they've been through the driver's training, the testing, the behind-the-wheel evaluations and everything. Just makes for a safer roadway for all of us.
But Republican Representative Mark Uglum of Champlin, who has come out against the bill, says this isn't a state issue.
Realistically, this is a federal issue. I would like to see it resolved, but Congress and the president have not seen fit to do that. So until they do, I don't know what we as a state should be doing. Should we override the federal government? I don't think so.
House bill author Representative Karen Clark, a Democrat from Minneapolis, says they're going to keep talking about when the bill might come up again. But now that legislators and the governor have to reach an agreement on many budget and policy differences to avoid a government shutdown, the issue may have to wait until next year. Peter Cox, Minnesota Public Radio News.
And that's your Polycast for this Wednesday, your daily check-in on Minnesota politics. I'm Mike Mulcahy in the Minnesota Public Radio Newsroom.